Lord God, we come to worship you tonight. And we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the wonderful prospect of spending eternity with you in heaven. We thank you, Lord God, that you have made that way possible for us in your mercy and by your grace through the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that as we gather here on this, the last evening of our special services, that you will once again be merciful and gracious to us, that you will pour your Spirit upon us, that we will know that you are God, and that we will delight, Lord God, in worshipping you. We pray this, Lord God, and we trust that we might know that you are the living God. We pray, Father, that you would minister to us by your Spirit as we read from your word, as we sing from your word, and as we hear your word preached in our presence. May it be said of us that tonight we find new life in Jesus Christ. May it be said of us that tonight we were strengthened in our faith in Jesus Christ. May it be said of us tonight that we grew in our love for Jesus Christ, having found the true purpose of our lives. So, Father, we pray that as we come to worship you, as we come to publicly declare our love for you, that you will come by your Spirit, through your word, and speak to each of our hearts. We thank you that you are a personal God, that you are a real God, that you are not a dumb idol, Lord God, that you live and you breathe and you work in this world. And we know it because many of us in this building tonight have experienced the reality of your saving power. And so we plead with you that once again we would see tonight the power of Jesus Christ at work for his glory. We're going to read together from the Word of God. You can do so from the order of service that you have or the Bible that you have been given this evening. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Or verse 1 rather. 1 John chapter 4 is found on page 1229 of the Bible. 1229 of the Bible. So it's 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. This is God's word that we read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means to appease the wrath of God for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. There we end that portion of God's Word, reading of God's Word, and we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm sorry if you were following in the order of service there, I overread. John's Gospel, chapter 15. It's never a bad thing, though, to read more than God's Word than what you anticipate to hear. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. It's 1087 in the Pew Bible. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And we end our reading of God's word there at verse 11. It's good to see you tonight. And if you've been here every night, that's good. And if this is your first night, well, that's good as well. The Lord has been blessing us. He has brought His Word to us each night. And He has instructed us concerning our lives. We were made to love God. We need to own that purpose for our lives. What I want to say tonight, I want to say under three headings. We can own our purpose in life because God first loved us. We can own our purpose in life because God is love. And we can own our purpose in life, but we must own it. We must own it. We can own our purpose in life because God has loved us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we read, and I turn your attention again to the Word of God. 'll have to look it up in the Bible because this verse is verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. On Monday evening, we saw that God created us in His image to love Him. That was the purpose for which we were made. That we were made unique. It's just dawned on me here that the verses that were printed in your order of service were not the words I read at all. So I'm sorry about that. That must have been my mistake. God created us in His image for the purpose of loving Him. We saw how that man rebelled against that purpose, how he rejected God's love and the wonderful privilege of loving and knowing God. We saw how that because of man's rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden, and remember, that Adam and Eve were real people. They are real people. And we saw that on Monday night, that they are not just simple symbols of the beginning of humanity. That Adam was as real as Jesus. That Jesus said that himself. And so those who would say today, out of one side of their mouth, that Jesus is a real person, and out of the other side of their mouth, that Adam didn't exist, don't know what they're talking about. Adam was a real man, and what he did at the beginning of creation in breaking our relationship with God has had a terrible impact on all of the world and all of creation. Broken relationships, man to man, man to woman, a broken relationship with the environment in which we live, and most importantly, a broken relationship with God. When Adam ate of the fruit that God told him not to eat, the world changed. The world to that point was a perfect world, filled with truth, filled with integrity, filled with joy and a passion for God. As of that moment, the world became a place of lies, became a place of brokenness, became a place of destruction. And we have lived as human beings since that moment and that hour with the consequences of that event each day of our lives. We saw how that we were born dead in sin. We saw how in Psalm 51 the psalmist speaks of the fact that we are dead in our sin. From the moment of conception, not because the act of sexual intercourse is a sin within marriage, but because through the act of sexual intercourse between a man and a woman, that seed of Adam is passed down through the line of humanity. And God says that every human being that is born dead in their sin. Many people today believe that they are sinners only if they do something really bad. What they don't grasp is that they are sinners because of who they are. That's not what preachers say. That is what God says in His Word. God tells us, each one of us, that we are born dead in our sin because we are the image bearers of God who have fallen in Adam. And many people would say, well, that is not fair. Why should I have to suffer the consequences of the wrongdoing of one man? And the reason why you have to suffer the consequences of the wrongdoing of that man is because who that man is and his unique position at the head of all mankind. Adam was no ordinary man. Adam was a man who was a representative of all mankind. And when he was created to bear the image of God and be that representative. And when he ate of that fruit and he denied his responsibility to love God and enjoy his life, he didn't just throw himself into a rejection pattern against God. He threw every human being who was to be born of his seed into that same lifestyle. That's the fact of life. That's what God tells us is the reality of the humanity or the condition of man today. Men and women deny that that is the case. But the fact of their denial does not change the reality that that is the case. It still remains the same whether we deny it or whether we accept it. And we see that we live lives of willful sin. And as such, that we are guilty. Guilty as charged. And we saw how that we are condemned. Not condemned in the future. It's not a case that God is going to weigh up our good deeds and our bad deeds on the day of judgment and say, well, you've done more good than bad. To wait to that hour is a waste of time. Because we saw in God's Word how He says that we stand condemned already because we do not believe in Jesus Christ. It's not a case of a future judgment. The judgment was taken on the day that Adam ate of the fruit. And so all mankind stand condemned by virtue of their rebellion against God. They are guilty as charged. And we saw how that we have no desire to seek after God. How our hearts are filled with only evil inclinations. How our minds are hostile to the things of God. And if you tonight are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that you're hostile to God. Because you may be even sitting here at this very moment in time saying to me, what you're saying isn't true. Adam wasn't a real man. Well, he was. I'm not a sinner. Yes, you are. I'm not hostile to God. Yes, you are. Your mind is telling you something that is not true. Why? Because God tells us that when we are born dead in sin, we are not only born dead in sin, we live lives of willful sin. Why? Because we are enslaved to the prince of the power of darkness. We are held in bondage and in slavery. I'm not a slave. Yes, you are. You are. That's the reality of your condition before God. And God in His mercy has been good to tell you the truth. He didn't wait until you reached heaven and said, by the way, you may think you were good, but in reality you were born dead. By the way, you lived a life of woeful sin. By the way, your heart was only evil all the time. By the way, you lived your life in rebellion against me. You were hostile to me. And because of that, you're condemned. He doesn't tell you that when you reach heaven. He's telling you that tonight. He's telling you that's the condition of your heart. That's the reality of your mind. And your will is not moved to the things of God. Because of that, we are without hope and without God in the world. Destined to a place of eternal punishment. Oh, here he goes, telling us about hell. Yes, here I go. And I tell you the truth. That we were born dead. We were guilty. We stand condemned. Alienated from God. And in that condition, God, because He is a holy God and a just God, demands the eternal punishment of those who reject Him. That is true. Hell is a real place. Do you know who spoke most about hell in the Bible? Jesus. Do you know that Jesus spoke more about hell in the Bible than He did about love? The world laughs at the concept of hell. Advertisers use it and make it of no consequence. And they have no understanding of what they are doing. They have no comprehension of what they are doing. Hell is a real place of extreme poverty because God is not going to be there. It's a place where God, we will be separated from God's presence for all eternity. It's a place where we will suffer the consequences of the sin which we commit day and daily against God. It is a terrible, terrible place. A horrific place. But God, being rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together in Christ Jesus. By grace, He saved us. As a free gift, He gave us new life in Jesus Christ. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. That's the offer that was brought on Wednesday night. Dead, dominated, and doomed. Without God and without hope in the world. And yet God has made us alive in Christ Jesus. How? How did He bring us from death to life? How did He bring us from under the dominion of Satan into a new and living relationship with Himself? How has He brought us from the darkness of hell into the hope and the light of heaven? How did He do it? Through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. By the will of the Father, the punishment that was due to us for our sin was placed on Him. That's what I preached on Wednesday night. That we who are dead, we who are dominated, and we who are doomed to a lost eternity, we can live. You can live tonight. If you're still in your deadness, you can live. You can experience the reality of God. Why? Because of God's love. God's love. You're not in a position to come from death to life yourself, because you're condemned. There's nothing you can do. You can't bring anything to God to offer to trade for your life. Why? Because all your goodness are as filthy rags. There's nothing that you can bring to God that will see God's delight in you. But God has done it in Christ. He condemned Him that you might live. He condemned Him, and through the sacrifice of His blood, your purpose and life was bought back. The purpose to live, to love God, was bought back. You weren't in a condition to buy it back, or a position to buy it back. You didn't have anything to offer God to buy it back. Those who say, "I'll come to God when it suits me," they have no understanding of the fact that you can't come to God when it suits you. You can't come to God when it suits you. You're not in a position to come to God. You're dead in your sin. You have nothing to offer to buy it back with. Everything you have, God looks upon as being a filthy rag. There's nothing that you can bring. But He bought it back. He bought it back. How did He buy it back? He condemned Jesus. He took the penalty that He should have poured out on you, and He poured it out on Him. People have no idea who Jesus is or what He did. A good man, a good prophet. God poured out His wrath on Jesus, that you might have the purpose for which you were made brought back to you. Do you find that concept uncomfortable? Are you wishing at this moment that you weren't here now? My friend, this is the best news you'll ever hear in your life. This is the message of the only way of salvation that there is on this earth. You turn from this tonight. You turn from this truth tonight. And you have no hope. No hope. Because you're in no position to come to God. And why did He do it? Why did He do it? Because of love. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we read it in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be the propitiation for our sins. Helen, will you give this young man a Bible? Because he's having to look here at this passage and it's not in the notes. You can share with your beloved there. Thanks, Helen. Did you hear that? In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be the one who through His death would appease the wrath of God. It is because of the great love of God with which He has loved us that many of us in this building tonight are alive in Jesus Christ. It is because of the love that He has lavished on us that we are not destined to that eternal destiny that is known as hell. Our future is about light and hope. We will delight in the presence of God for all eternity. And why? Because it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Because it pleased the Father to pour His wrath upon the Son. Because it pleased the Father to put His punishment on the Son. Because it pleased the Father to crush the Son. And why did it please the Father to do that? Why did it please the Father to punish the Son who knew no sin? Jesus was not born of the line of Adam. He was not a sinner. Jesus knew no sin during His life. Jesus should never have died. Death is a direct consequence of sin. God said to Adam in the garden, "If you eat, you shall die." We die not because of illness. We die because of sin. Jesus Christ should never ever have died. Why didn't He die? Because God put Him to death. Why? Because He loved us. He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Because of His death and His appeasing the wrath of God, we can be in a position of owning our purpose in life. You can have your purpose in life back. That which Adam sold. You can have it back through Jesus Christ. It's there. It's there. If you cry out to God and ask for it. Secondly, we can own our purpose in life because God is love. Our purpose in life is to live, to love God. That's what we were made for. You were created, and I was created, in the image of God, to live, to bring glory to God, and to do that by loving Him and obeying His commands. If you don't believe that, then give me another reason why you exist. You are made by God in His image for a purpose. That purpose is to live, to love Him and obey His commands and so bring glory to Him. If you don't believe that tonight, then you give me a reason for your life. Why are you alive? What is your reason for living? To accumulate things? And what are you going to do when you've accumulated those things? At the end of the day, when you stand there, breathing your last, what will be the purpose of your life? What is it all about? If it's not to live for the glory of the God who has given you life. What do you do every day? What is the point? We are in a position to love God because we have been made alive in Jesus Christ. And I speak to you who are believers in Jesus Christ tonight. And I tell you that you can own this purpose because God is love. The Beatles sang 40 years ago that all you need is love, love, love. Love is all you need. It's funny how the smiles are all in the, sort of the, these guys are saying, Beatles? Who are the Beatles? It's all those who were 40 going, all you need is love. Sounds good, doesn't it? All you need is love. But what does it mean? Is it a commodity that can be bought? Is it a commodity that can be earned? Is it a commodity that can be produced? Love has to come from somewhere. Love has to come from somewhere. You can like something, but loving something is entirely different, isn't it? Isn't it different? Loving something is different. We can love, we can experience love, and we can give love. Why? Because love comes from God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Look at it, please. If you've got the order of service, that's the last verse that's printed. Behold, let us love one another, for love is God, is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Love is from God. Love is from God. Just as light flows from the sun, so love finds its source and flows from God. Well, that can be said of anything and everything. Everything in the world has its source in God. But you see, there's more to love than merely coming from God as the creator of all creation. For we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that God is what? God is love. And it repeats it in verse 16, that God is love. All of creation comes from God because He has made everything out of nothing. But all of creation is separate from God. But love is not separate from God. Love is God and God is love. They are one and the same thing. They are the essence of the same thing. It's not simply that God made the world and therefore everything is from God. Everything is from God and love is from God. But God is love. His very being is love. You scratch the fibers of God's being and what does He bleed? He bleeds love, because He is love. So it's not simply a case that God is a loving God. There's more to it than that. God is the very essence of love. So everything that you can say about God, you can say about love. Truth, reality, eternity, goodness, holiness, right. God is love. And the reason why we can love God is because God is love. You have a purpose. Your purpose in life is to live to love God. Why can you live to love God? Because God, having sent His Son to die for you at Calvary, has brought you into a living relationship with Himself. And you can love God because He is love. He has placed you in a position to love, and He has given you that which you need to love. You are facilitated to love because He is love. So you can own the purpose of living your life to love God because God has placed you in the position where you can do that, and because God gives you that which enables you to do that, that which is to love. But the key point, and this is the key point, you have to own that purpose. You have to take hold of that purpose. Those of us tonight in this building who are believers in Jesus Christ, we were dead, we were guilty, we were condemned, we were alienated, we were heading for eternal punishment. God, through the sacrifice of His Son, bought us back. God, by the power of His Spirit, opened our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We were born again of the Spirit of God. We are now in the place where we can fulfill our purpose in life. That which we were unable to do because Adam had sold it, smashed and shattered, we can do it because God has brought us back and made us alive in Christ Jesus. In His mercy and by His grace, we can live in Jesus Christ to love God. It is now possible for us to do that. And because God is love, He enables us and He facilitates us being enabled to do that. But my friend, I say to you tonight, and I challenge you tonight, that there is no point in us having had it bought back for us. There's no point in having had us given to us. There's no point in God being a God of love who enables us to do this if we're not prepared to take ownership of this purpose for ourselves. And one of the things that really saddens me about many Christians that I meet is the fact that they don't own this reality of loving God. They don't own the reality of loving God. They are no longer dead in their sin. They are no longer in bondage to sin. They are no longer living as slaves to Satan. They are no longer heading for a lost eternity. They really, genuinely are alive in Jesus Christ. And yet they are sad men and women. Why? Because they are not living to love God. Jesus Christ says to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now I ask you tonight, do you love God with all your soul? I ask you tonight, do you love God with all your mind? I ask you, do you love God with all your might? God has brought you from death to life. God has brought you from bondage to freedom. He enables you to live for the purpose for which you were made. You were made to love God. Do you love God tonight? Do you love Him? Do you love Him with your mind? Do you love Him with your mind? Do you think about God? Do you think about God? Each day, do you think about God? When we love someone, we think about them, don't we? We think about them. We spend time thinking about them. We read from John 15 where Jesus said, abide in me, and my love will abide in you. Abide in my word. Abide in prayer. Believer in Jesus Christ tonight, I'm speaking to you now as believers. The unbelievers have had their four nights, okay? They've had their nights. Speaking to you now, believer in Jesus Christ. You who've experienced being made alive in Jesus Christ, do you love God? Have you taken conscious, deliberate, willful ownership of the purpose for which you were made? Or are you still living your life driven by the hopeless things the world is offering you? How sad are you if you're giving your life to those things of no consequence? You know, the thing that really breaks my heart is to see a man or a woman 30, 40, 50 years who who can say to me, I was saved way back in 19 whatever. And they'll tell you about the day and hour that they became a Christian and the events of that salvation. And yet you look at their life, not in a critical way, not in a judgmental way, you look at their life and you say, where is their love for God? They know nothing of God from the Word of God. Or they can turn to a few passages, John 3:16 and a few other passages, but they don't know anything about God. And you think after 30 years of loving God that they would know everything there was any human being would know about God. They would long to know Him. They would long, they would be feeding on His Word. They'd be desiring to get into His Word. They'd be desiring and they'd be hungering after it. I want to know more about God. And you ask them, what about their soul and their might? Are they giving themselves things to God? Oh, something else comes up some night that's more important to go to this than it is to the things of God. Do they love God? Is there a passion for God there when the priority is not to be with the people of God? What is going on in that man's heart? What is going on in that woman's heart? Do they love the Lord? Oh, I love God. I love the church. Our purpose is to love God, to delight in the things of God, to delight in the ways of God, to delight in who our God is. And Jesus says here in John 15 that if we abide in Him and His Word abides in us and we abide in prayer, what does He say in John 15 verse 11? What is it He says? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. My friend, do you want to live a life of purpose? You have been born again of the Spirit of God. God has brought you from death to life. God wants you to enjoy your life. His Son has said it, that He has said these things that you might enjoy your life. How are you going to enjoy that life? You must put to death those things that are from the old life. Those thoughts that go through your mind, love the Lord your God with all your mind. You must put those thoughts that are of the old life away. You're no longer a slave to sin. You must put the inclinations of the heart that are against God to death. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And you must put to death those actions that are against who God is. Love the God, Lord your God with all your might. You must put to death those thoughts and those heart desires and those actions which are against the living God. Ah, but I don't want to offend so and so. I wouldn't want to cross so and so. I wouldn't want to let them down. My friend, were they the one that hung on the cross at Calvary to buy your salvation? Did they bleed and die that you might live? You're no longer dead. You're alive in Jesus Christ. Stop behaving as though you were dead. Start living as though you are one who is alive. Who cares who you offend? Does it matter an iota who you offend? Not an iota. Your love is not for this world. This world does not love you. This world does not long for you. Yes, they may stand and say nice things over your grave when you are gone, but will they care for you once you are gone? Not an iota. If you want to love God, then you must give yourself to God. You must take ownership of the reality, of the purpose for which He has made you. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Stop making them. You're no longer dead. You're no longer in bondage. You're no longer going to lost eternity. Stop behaving as though you are. Start living as a professing Christian that you are. You've been made alive. swing your legs out of bed in the morning and say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ today. My purpose in life today is to love God. And when someone comes to you and says, whatever your name is, let's go and do this, or let's think that, run you through your mind this thought. Is this demonstrating that I love God? If it doesn't, then say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, because that's not my purpose in life. If someone involves you in a conversation in which they're wanting to destroy the name of Jesus Christ or the image of God and man, you say to them, I can't engage in this conversation because that's not my purpose in life. And someone wants to involve you in an engagement or a practice or an activity which is not leading you to the Lord with all your might, then you say to them, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I have a purpose in life. My purpose in life is not to do what I want. My purpose in life is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Why? Why do you want to love the Lord your God with all your soul? Because He sent His Son to die for my eternal salvation. I put it to you that if your life was threatened, your physical life, and someone rescued you, you would feel indebted to them for the rest of your life. If you were in the company of people and you heard them bad-mouthing that individual, you would step in and say, hold on a minute, that man saved my life. If that man picked up the phone and said, come, I need help, you would go and help him. You would go and help him. Well then, my friends, if God has brought us from death to life, and you really are saved, you're just not saying that, and God is love and enables us to love Him, then why is it that we all find it so difficult to love Him as we should? Surely we should be giving ourselves every moment of every day to grow in love with our Heavenly Father. We should be consumed with the passion of loving Him. We should be consumed with the desire to love Him with all our soul. All the decisions of our life should be taken towards loving Him. And what does Jesus say? I have said these things so that you can have a terrible life. I've said these things so that your life can be an absolute burden. I've said these things so that your life will be the most miserable experience that any human being can have. Isn't it the lie of Satan that Satan comes to us and he says to us, God says you live to fulfill the purpose for which I have given you, to love me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus says, if you do this, your joy will be complete. And Satan says to us, even those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, he says to us, nonsense. Nonsense. The father of lies comes to us. That is why, my friends, that is why in this church we encourage men and women to come and hear the gospel, not once in the Lord's Day, but twice. We say, we want you to enjoy your life. We want you to fulfill your purpose in life. We want you to be a man and a woman who loves God. We want to give you every opportunity that we can to hear the Word of God proclaimed, that you might know Him, and you might delight in Him, and that you might worship Him. That's why we call you to pray, because Jesus said, come and pray. Ask whatever you want. Jesus says, if you do then this, then my joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. We ask you to come and pray. Why? Because we love you and we want you to enjoy your life. We want you to fulfill your purpose in life. And when you come and you give yourself in prayer, when you come and say, Father, you are my Father in heaven, then what happens is that your love for God grows. That's why we ask you to come and study the Word of God. Why? Because we want you to fall in love with God more and 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 more. Each day we want you to fall in love with God. Each day we want you to fulfill the purpose for which you have been made. Each day we want you as an image bearer of God to delight in the ways of God and to enjoy the things of God. That's why we do it. It's all about joy and enjoying the things of God and delighting in the things of God and being happy in the ways of God. And Satan spins it the other way. He spins it. He spins it. Don't want to do that. Well, where have you heard that this week before? Huh? First night. Did God really say that? You'll not surely die, will you? You can't enjoy life being a believer in Jesus Christ, can you? Adam died. Don't buy into Satan's lies. Come and love God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, come and love Him. Love Him. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And find the joy of life in loving God. Fulfill the purpose for which He made you. Don't just come to church. Love God. Don't just read your Bible. Love God. Love God. Find out who He is. Find out what it is to live for God. And the joy of the reality of living for God. And the freedom of living for God. And the love that comes from living for God. And the joy that follows a life living for God. Our purpose in life is to love God, to bring glory to God. It was smashed, shattered, and sold. It's been bought back. He gives it to us as a gift, as a gift. Because we can't earn it in any way. But are we going to own it? Are you going to take hold of it and own it? Is it going to be yours? Are you going to take it for keeps? Are you going to begin to fall in love with God more and more and more? Is this what you want for your life? This is what you've been made for. Put the devil and his lies behind you. Look to Christ and seek Him and His kingdom and live for the glory of the God who made you and enjoy your life to the full. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.